And a good Saturday morning to you. It's time for the Green Country Gardener. I'm Garrett Giles. With me is Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb. Larry, how are you doing this morning?
Fine, 120 over 68, and 52 beats a minute.
I like that.
Well, yeah. Anyway, golly, it's kind of a quiet time in the landscape. It's a good time to do some planting. Who? What was that? I thought I heard hello.
No, you're good.
Okay. Well, these earphones are a little funny anyway. What? Okay, anyway. Now's a good time, of course, to plant trees in the landscape. If you need some trees or something, we've got a great selection of trees right now, and more on the way. Get them in the ground while they're asleep.
Right.
Good time, perhaps, to transplant a few things that you might need to transplant as well. I believe today is going to be a little bit sunny, and the ground a little bit drier than it has been, but not much. But so it'll be maybe a good day to perhaps get out and get a little exercise.
Yeah, I know the forecast. Go ahead.
And transplant that Nandina or Rosa Sharon or whatever.
I know that the forecast was calling for a little bit of some overcast skies a little later on, but for the most part, we can enjoy the sunshine while it's still here.
Yeah. So anyway, pruning is on a lot of people's minds right now. How do I prune? What do I prune? And so on. Well, there's a kind of a step you follow in doing pruning your shrubs. First of all, you need to look at the tree or shrub, whatever you're pruning, and look for parts of the plant perhaps that have been injured or broken or damaged or dead on the tree itself.
Right.
It's kind of hard to tell this time of year, but nonetheless, you want to look for things that are physically wrong with it first.
Okay.
As I drive around, I see a lot of broken branches and things on people's plants, probably as a result of the storms we've had and so on, insect damage and whatnot. So you want to do that first.
Right.
Clean up the bad stuff first. Secondarily, you want to create some kind of a balance in the plant after you get rid of all the stuff. I had a cherry tree at my house. It just split.
Okay.
And they're not the strongest wood in the wood. not the strongest wooded tree in the world, but I guess the ice we had a while back took care of it.
Okay. So I was getting ready to ask you what caused that. But.
Yeah, just this extra weight. And actually, it made a smoked brisket with it. Really good.
That does sound pretty good.
So anyway, look for that. And when you do make a cut, make sure you leave pretty much cut it close to the trunk. Don't leave a stub. I see that so many times. These people, you think they're building hut racks. Mm-hmm. Or a place to hang their laundry or something. They leave these little stubs sticking out. You always want to cut it really close to the trunk so the tree can heal over. If you leave a stubble out like that, it can't heal over that, then it causes some problems. And then if you have a cut, say, that's bigger around than, say, your wrist or something, then you might want to use a sealer on it
to be safe.
Just to be safe, yeah. So awesome. Anyway, maple trees and birch trees. Here it is January in another 15 to 30 days, the sap's going to start running on them. Mm-hmm. And if you do need to do some pruning on those, you need to get after it pretty quick. Give those tissues a chance to heal up a little bit before the sap starts to run.
Gotcha.
The sap, when it comes out, it's got some sugars in it. This is stuff from the roots. It attracts ants and pests and things. So
the things you don't want on here.
Things you don't want. So you do want to go ahead and as soon as you can, this time of year, go ahead and prune those maple trees and birch trees. I know my maple trees up front need some help, but it's way up there.
Okay. So, I might need to be a little cautious with that one.
Yeah, really. So anyway, something's got to be done. So I'm thinking of renting a pole saw.
Right.
Yeah.
So, that way you can stay on the ground, stay firm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep your feet just
a couple of weeks ago, I was climbed up in the tree to get it off the house. Well, anyway, I don't want to do that in the front yard. So anyway, you want to do some pruning on your things like that. And also, if the tree branches are getting close to the house, you might want to get that off there too, because it can damage your shingles as the wind blows. Mm-hmm. So make sure they're not close to the house. You want to leave, probably 3 foot at least barrier, because the trees, they move in the wind, and you want to make sure that it doesn't damage your house. So look at that also. Okay, so pruning time. It's also time to think about spraying your fruit trees in about 3 weeks or so. Gotcha. The dormant oil, it's getting close to time for that. You right now is the time to prune your fruit trees, like we talked about earlier with the other trees. And you prune them for structure and so on. Keep in mind there's going to be a lot of weight on these fruit trees. And when you prune them, you got a caller?
We do have a caller,
okay,
yes.
Put them on.
I was just waiting to make sure that we did. Yeah, we do fine. Have a caller.
Okay.
Good morning. How can we help you on the Green Country Gardener?
Good morning. Larry, talking about pruning remind me of a question I had. I have a pecan tree. It's a mature pecan.
Yeah.
Big tree.
Big one.
And it grows a lot of, I call them suckers, but minor branches all over the major branches.
Right. Sort of like a water sprouts on a fruit tree.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Should I cut those off or just leave them or...
I would.
And if so, when should I cut them?
When a tree does that, usually it's under some kind of stress. And that could either be just old age or it could be borers or something else like that on the tree. Look very closely for maybe sawdust coming out here and there on the tree. And a lot of times that is a sign of stress. So, because they don't normally do that.
Okay.
So, you've got something... that's invading the tree. See, it's a good idea. And look for little holes in the tree and look for sawdust anywhere on the ground or something and look for sporadic die-off on some branches here and there. And if you do have a borer problem, then there are some remedies for that you can apply to systemic insecticides that'll do a pretty good job of controlling them, yeah. So as far as the water sprouts, yeah, go ahead and cut them off. They're really not very productive. They're just going to come off, just break off. So I would go ahead and prune those off. But there's an underlying reason why the tree is doing that, and chances are it does have some degree of stress, and typically the stress is from borer activity.
Hmm. Okay, I'll take a good look.
Take a really good hard look at it and see.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
What else should people know about pruning?
All right. We're getting that.
Yeah.
Okay, got
sorry.
Okay. Oh, your fruit trees. We were talking about pruning
trees.
Those. There's typically a lot of weight associated with the fruit trees. And you look at each branch and make sure it's fairly well balanced. Because torsional stress can really cause some damage to your fruit trees.
Gotcha.
In other words, if you've got a lot of weight on one side of the branch and very little bit on the other, if it isn't balanced like this, it can twist and cause the branch to break off. So when you're doing your pruning of your fruit trees, look for that too. Make sure there's a fairly equal amount of branching on all the equal amount of side branching on all the major branches. Just so when the weight does come down, and I know for my plum trees are a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Golly, they bend all the way to the ground. I had to put props. Things bare like we have more plum jelly, you know what to do with. But anyway, you have to watch out for that. Because that happened to mine one time. It got away from me, and it just snapped. It just twisted it.
Like, that doesn't look right.
No, that's not right. So anyway, so watch for that too. And also the dormant oil. It's almost time to do that, about a month away, really. I like to do that in the middle of February, just so it has more effect at that critical time.
Gotcha.
So the dormant oil, and also on your peach trees, don't forget about the lime sulfur spray, or you can use a copper. The new step is a copper fungicide, which is not really toxic or anything, but it does a good job of controlling peach leaf curl. Peach leaf curl causes a distortion of the leaves. They look kind of like a hawk's claw, if you will.
That's interesting.
And they curl inwards like that. And that the fungus of the peach leaf curl gets carried on to the peaches as well and can destroy the appearance of the fruit. And in some severe cases, can really cause just complete degradation of the fruit and quality of the fruit. So let's not plan for failure. Let's plan for success.
Yes.
And plan on doing that. We'll be discussing it a little bit as time goes on. But fair warning, we're getting close.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Time flies.
How close are we there, Larry?
What's today?
Today is the 9th.
The 9th. Okay, we're about 5 weeks away.
Okay.
So,
definitely pretty close then.
time to gather up your materials, make sure the sprayer works and all that, so you're not so frustrated when the time, when the time comes, you know.
Be prepared.
So anyway, that's sort of what's going on with your fruit trees right now. Another thing you might want to consider doing here in a little bit is to fertilize your fruit trees also. I would probably avoid using imidacloprid, which is a systemic insecticide on your fruit trees at this point. Mm-hmm. If you do have borers on it, you do find borers, you might want to use something topical such as spinosad, which is a good borer control for fruit trees. It's safe to use on that. It's a microbial generated kind of thing. And it's organic, if you will.
Right.
And the dormant oil also is safe to use with bees and whatnot. So our bee populations need to be pretty much preserved. So, and there are some pluses and minuses on rather the damage to bees from imidacloprid. Some people say yes, some people say no. It just depends. Mm-hmm. There's an abscission layer on the flower itself that when the flower's done, it falls off. And some people say that the imidacloprid doesn't get past that abscission layer. So perhaps it won't cause problems with bees. But to be on the safe side, I always like to imidacloprid my fruit trees after the fruit is harvested.
Right.
So you don't get it in your food.
Right. That would be bad.
And then again, when the time comes for them to bloom again, the amount in the tree is small. So it won't cause some problems with the bees and whatnot. So we just kind of have to manage all this stuff together, if you will.
Right.
And fungus is a problem, too. And like I mentioned, the copper fungicide works very well. And you might consider carrying that on throughout the year just so you do have some success with your fruit. And on your pecan trees, now's a good time to put a zinc-type fertilizer on. It takes a while for that to get down into the soil,
okay.
Especially if it's dry, which is not the case. I know that firsthand at this point. There's plenty of moisture in the ground, but still you want to do kind of a zinc application that does help with the production of the fruit and the quality of the fruit, too. So.
Okay. What other fertilizing tips should people know at this time?
Don't do anything in the yard at this point.
Okay.
It's kind of a bad time to try to fertilize your fescue grass. January is a very quiet month. In February, though, the middle end of February, the temperature, if it doesn't snow.
Least not in the next week for now.
I think, this year will be another year for the zingers. It's been 10 years since we've had a good snow.
Yeah.
So we're due for one, really. So
really are.
Get ready. But anyway, the middle of the end of February is time to start fertilizing that fescue grass. Bermuda grass, don't worry about it right now. It's not going to do anything. You don't get slickered into buying a winterizer for your Bermuda grass. It's kind of silly when it doesn't even use it till May.
Right.
So
yeah, I know that's exactly right.
So go ahead and be prepared to fertilize that fescue grass because it's going to be growing very, very aggressively come spring.
Okay.
And also, it's time to apply fescue seed in late February, March, that kind of time frame, too, because it is a cool season grass. And you do want the grass roots to get established before the heat hits. So fescue grass, all the grass is kind of quiet right now. It's a good time for planting, if you will. Good time to take that mower in and have it sharpened and so on, oil changed and all that. I know I got to put new wheels on mine. It's so old, they're all worn out.
It's always good to take care of your stuff.
I'm probably going to get a ticket mowing with a mower with those flat wheels. I mean,
maybe. Anyway. I might know a guy who can help you with that.
Yeah. Dethatching about 5 weeks from now. Dethatching can be done on your Bermuda grass, but don't do it right now. It could freeze out.
Okay.
And, the thatch that's on there makes a good insulation against the cold. So should be okay. Just leave it alone right now.
Okay.
Okay. Moles are a bit of a problem, too. Going to people's yards, they're covered in moles. That's a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several ways to get rid of moles. And there's little things that make noise. Some people swear by them. Some people use them, throw them out. They don't just a fizz, I guess. Another thing is the mole traps, which is very effective.
Mm-hmm.
And identifying the main tunnel. You just kind of smash them all flat, and then whatever one comes up again, typically that's the main tunnel, and that's where you need to concentrate your efforts, because they use the main tunnel as an expressway, and then they take little exits here and there to find more more little critters than all on. So moles are a little bit of a problem, and not a little bit, they're a big problem. Some people's yards, you just go bananas. Golly, the whole yard just chewed up. So now's a good time to perhaps put a some degree of prevention in place to help keep those under control, too.
We're speaking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, here on the Green Country Gardener program. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
Storm alert. Everybody has to be prepared.
When the skies become threatening and severe weather strikes, K1 provides complete coverage. Bartlesville Radio gives up-to-the-minute weather condition using radar and live on-the-scene reports from the Washington County Emergency Management Team. Our trained weather spotters, along with the meteorologists from KOTV News on 6, are dedicated to keeping your family safe. Keep a battery-operated radio close, and when severe weather strikes, go to a safe place and tune in to K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3 for immediate coverage.
Brought to you by
Patriot Chevrolet,
Bartlesville Collision Center,
Paul's Wrecker Service,
Jericho Tile and Carpet,
ConocoPhillips,
United Rentals,
Green Country Restoration,
Phillips 66,
Randy Lawrence Lawn Care and Maintenance,
Stump Funeral Home,
and A-Best Roofing.
Your safety is our top concern at K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. Want you to know we have any rental need that you could possibly have at a competitive rate with excellent service. So if you have a project coming up on the weekend that you need a boom for, you need a water pump, a trencher, a mini excavator, we can take care of you. You pay a one-day price, you keep it the entire weekend, you're not in a rush, it's a great deal. Come see us, give us a chance to take care of you. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Garrett Giles. Joining us is Larry Glass. Numbers to call if you have any questions for Larry are 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry, we were talking about how pesky moles can be. What other problem pests can we work with?
Well, what's going to happen later on your azaleas especially is lace wings. Lace wings are a real small little tiny little insect, mm-hmm. and they cause a lot of damage. So you might want to consider planning on getting rid of those. Now, these azaleas will be actively growing here in another month or so, depending on what you guys do with the weather.
Preferably a mild, like, snow maybe, but...
Yeah, we need a good snow. It's been a while, so yeah. It's kind of fun. It keeps the body shops busy.
Yeah, that's true.
so we need a good snow. But anyway, lace wings are real bad on the azaleas in the spring, and I go to people's houses and I look at theirs and say, do you know your azaleas have lace wings? Really, what's that?
Right.
It's a little insect that kind of lives on the leaf, and it draws the juices out of the plant, and it causes all the chloroplasts is what they go, and they eat all that stuff out. Mm-hmm. In the middle layer of the leaf, a little proboscis that scoops it out. And it leaves nothing but a shell, basically, of a leaf. It's still there, but it's discolored. Now, you can identify whether or not you have lace wings on your azaleas by looking at the underside of the leaf. If the leaf looks a little stressed out, and there'll be little brown patches where the insect has entered the leaf, and that's the sap coming out that has dried up and turned kind of brown on the surface.
Gotcha.
So those are lace wings, and also the green from a really nice emerald green to kind of a army green.
Like, almost
a chartreuse.
Right.
So anyway, it can cause some problems with your azaleas, some health problems, and eventually it'll kill them out. Another thing is the leaf size on your azalea. If the leaves are getting noticeably smaller as it gets older, your pH is not proper, and you need to lower the pH on your azalea, typically by adding, say, an azalea fertilizer or some Epsom salts to the ground to lower that pH. So leaf size is a good indicator of the health of the plant as far as soil chemistry is concerned.
Gotcha.
Another thing to look out for is the length of the node between the leaves. If it's got pretty good sized leaves, but it's just simply not growing, it just needs fertilizer. Mm. That's all.
Okay.
So, and if you do get just sporadic bloom, too, when I first planted these things, they bloomed all over the place. Now they're not blooming as much. Well, you might check out the tree canopy around and see if they're not getting enough light. They do require some light, and the new azaleas, the rebloomers, they require more sunshine, and they're actually rated at full sun to part shade. So it could be that if they're not blooming very heavily, they're simply not getting enough light.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fertilize your azaleas directly after they bloom, and then again in a month, then again in a month.
Okay.
And when you do fertilize, you do a light application. Because the root system is very shallow and they're very susceptible to burning, if you will. So you have to fertilize them very gradually. Because you can fertilize them and, 2 weeks later your plants are dead. What?
What happened?
Well, you don't do it all at once.
Right.
And the root is very spread out. We talked about the drip line, and that's where you really need to concentrate the blooming, or the fertilizing, rather, because that's where the absorption takes place for the most part. It's right there. Up close to the plant, it's used primarily for anchoring and water storage and whatnot. But further away is where they do most of their absorbing. So sprinkle a little bit around the edge of the plant, not in the middle of it. And then just a little bit. And then wait a month a little bit, wait a month a little bit.
Okay. Larry, I think we do actually have a call on the line if you want to get to that. Good morning. How can we help you?
I had a question about the tall fescue. Larry was talking about fertilizing in mid-February.
Right.
Mine has been yellowish since the fall. Does that sound like it needed fertilizer, or that something else might be going on with it?
Are the leaf blades, are they fairly wide, and is it growing fairly aggressively?
I can't really tell. They're just, I had raked it a lot because it's under two huge oak trees, and it had a lot of torment there, and I wondered if I did something to it or if it's needing fertilizer.
If you've been fertilizing and it's not really responding very well, chances are your pH might be a little bit off.
What do I do?
Lime, agricultural lime.
And can I put that down now, or should I wait?
Yeah. The lime is not a fertilizer. It modifies the soil pH. It raises the soil pH.
Okay.
And it sounds to me like you might have an issue, perhaps, with the pH being just a little bit on the low side. That would go ahead and sweeten the soil, if you will.
Okay.
So,
Thank you very much.
It's inexpensive, and it's easy to apply, and it'll probably solve the issue.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Yes, know your chemistry. Very important. Okay, we've talked about all kinds of stuff. Let's talk about what's going on at the nursery a little bit.
Okay.
We have a good selection of houseplants. One typical type of plant that people are really enthusiastic about are the succulents.
Okay.
We have a great selection of those. They're easy to grow.
How easy?
Well, you just kind of put them in the windowsill. And if you forget to water them, they don't care. If you remember to water them, you'll kill them. they're very kind of desert kind of plants, and they just kind of sit there. So.
Right. Just let them be.
But they're pretty now. We do have other selections of houseplants, too. So
awesome.
Cyclamens are coming up. Cyclamens are kind of an interesting plant. They look like they're a sort of a tropical wetland plant, but really they're not. They do like to dry out a little bit between waterings. And we sell a lot of cyclamens every year. They make good house plants. They last a long time. And there's another one. If you forget to water, it's more forgiving than if you overwater.
Mm-hmm.
So take it easy on that. Also, on your house plants inside, watch for insects. We've had some people come in. They've had problems with scale and mites and things. And mealybugs and things on their plants. So there are ways to control that. So you might want to, if you have a question about bugs on your plants, maybe bring it by. We can come up with a solution for the problem.
Awesome. Larry, we have another caller on the line. Let's take that now.
Put him on.
Good morning. How can we help you?
Yes, thank you. Larry, you were talking about the imidacloprid for borers,
right,
which prompted me to go out to the garage and look to see what I had, which that's what I have.
Right.
And I've been planning to use it on pecan trees.
Yes.
And a Austrian pine, and I'll probably treat some of the other pines that I've got, since I've got damage that looks to me like borer damage starting on one of those pines.
Right.
What I don't know is what time of year do those trees bloom? I want to treat them so I have bees, by the way, also, at like 7 hives at the time. Sometimes we have up to 20. But obviously, I don't want to affect the bees. Nothing about the blooming cycle on pine trees, if they do, quote, bloom.
Yes, they do.
And I don't know when pecan trees bloom.
Ah.
So.
But on the imidacloprid, you probably want to apply that after bloom set on your pecan trees. And that's typically, the pecan trees always put out these catkins that fall down.
Right.
Those are the male parts. And when they fall off, they've done their bit and the blooms are over with. So it would probably be safe to apply it then. And,
okay.
The imidacloprid also is carried throughout the plant, through the vascular system of the plant. And it really won't be very effective at this point in the year because of the plant's
a
lot of that.
That's
going
why
on.
I was wanting to know when to do it, but I wanted to know when to do it safely for the bees also.
After your plants bloom would be the best time.
Okay.
So,
do the pine trees actually bloom, so to speak? I mean, they never make a bloom that I can see, but that doesn't mean they don't have some kind of bloom.
Yeah, they're kind of similar. I lived in Georgia for a while, and in the spring, everybody had a yellow car.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, they do bloom in the spring, and typically the male parts are the ones that are more pronounced on the pine trees, and female parts are kind of hidden a little bit. And then after the pollination is done and the catkins fall off, once again, it'd be safe to do it then. I don't know that bees really go after the pine trees that much.
Yeah, but don't know either. I don't think so at all, but I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
That side of the deal. Okay. Well, I'll start trying to watch this spring and see if I can track then when those are actually blooming and then try to get them treated.
Exactly. It takes a little while about 2 weeks for it to get up into the tree where it does any good, too. So,
yeah, I knew it'd take a while. I didn't know what that time frame would be. I didn't know. And the problems with uptake regarding whether the soil's dry enough or too wet also is something else that might be a bit of a challenge during the springtime.
Exactly, yeah.
We'll work with those.
On my water oak in the backyard, I had a real bad problem with scale. It's just covered in scale insects. Good golly. So I got some of that imidacloprid, and it took 3 weeks. But it got rid of it. It cleared them up. It worked very well. They're starting to creep back now. It's been about 4 years. They're starting to creep back a little bit, so I might zoom
in. I'm going to try to treat everything around here. I'll probably start a little earlier since I've got some systemic spray stuff.
Yeah.
I'll probably start a little earlier with that, but then I'm going to do the imidacloprid on the hopes that that'll be a sure enough real cure.
Yeah, there is the spinosad too, which is more or less a replacement for lindane as a topical application for the borers.
Right.
So that in conjunction with the imidacloprid will probably give it a pretty good chance of getting them under control.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate it. Thank you very much
for
your help.
Thanks for calling.
Bye now.
Larry, I think we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Okie doke.
Painters True Value in Dewey has a sale going on that you just can't pass up. Through January 24th, 2021, you can get great bargains like Sterilite 18-gallon storage totes in blue, Hazelwood, or Lilac for just $5.49 each. Save $40 on a 30,000 BTU tank top propane heater, just $49.99. And be sure to pick up 12-ounce size Great Stuff Gap and Cracks sealant or Big Gap foam sealant, two cans for $7. Your choice. Shop the New Year sale at Painters True Value in Dewey and save.
911, what's your emergency?
I have no idea what's going on.
Okay, sir, do you need medical attention?
No, I mean, like, what's up with the weather and stuff?
This is 911. What you need is the 411. It'll sound like this.
The K1 Morning News with Buck.
Man, I feel like an idiot.
Well, listen to them and you'll be fine, but you are an idiot.
Hey!
Weekday mornings, 6 to 10, on K1, the one you trust.
If you work or live in the downtown area and are experiencing difficulty at times to find a place to park, worry no more. There is downtown parking available at 2nd and Osage that's convenient to downtown businesses and apartments. For more information and monthly rates, call 336-1001. That's 336-1001.
Stay connected with K1 text messaging, breaking news, headlines, severe weather warnings, delivered immediately to you on your phone. Sign up today at BartlesvilleRadio.com. K1 Text is brought to you by Dungis Family of Autos, Bob Loftus Furniture, and Tacos Pachinas. Think about it. Breaking news, headlines, severe weather warnings, delivered to you on your phone, only on K1 Text.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Garrett Giles. Joining me is Larry Glass. Number to call if you have any questions for Larry regarding what you should be doing in the yard or gardening or all those other questions, feel free to call us 918-336-1400, or you can reach us at the toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry, what else should people know?
Golly, on your shrubs, you can start pruning stuff back. I do like to wait a little bit later. But if you're going to be out of town in February, you might want to prune up a little bit right now. We're about 3-4 weeks away from the early time for heavy pruning, mm-hmm. on your shrubs and things. I like to wait a little bit longer because they will recover a lot better if they're cut a little bit later. In other words, how long are you going to want to look at a bunch of dead, defoliated shrubs?
Right.
So that's why I like to wait till the middle of February, because typically the things are bouncing back pretty quickly at that point. Mm-hmm. So heavy pruning real soon. Watch your watering. That's not a problem right now. Transplanting is a good time also.
Okay.
If you've got that shrub that's sort of in the wrong place, then you might want to think about moving it perhaps this week.
It just needs to be moved over a little bit to the right, like about an inch, you know?
I had a big old boxwood at my house last year. I moved it. It's been there 30 years. And, man, it was an effort to move that. It was heavy.
Right.
Big old root system. And just basically dug a trench and dragged it, big old rope, into the new place. Somebody put it right in the middle of the window. Boxwoods get big. Yeah, so I moved it to the corner of the house rather than, and then I planted some low shrubs where the window is. It's just...
Okay.
Kind of backwards, but nonetheless. And it survived.
Survived the transport?
Yes, it did.
It's good.
It sat there for a while. I didn't know what it wanted to do. I thought it was going to die. It turned brown a little bit here and there. Kind of bronzy. Then it green up. Then it turned. So it looks like it's going to make it, though.
It's upset that you moved it.
Yeah. So anyway, so it's a good time to, if you got the time or the muscle to move a big old plant, now's the time to do that. So.
Skip the gym, just lift up your shrubs.
Really? Really? So anyway, with the roses right now, still got pruning time still to go on that. Mulching, if you do have the hybrid tea roses that are grafted, we really haven't gotten to too much cold yet, but we could get a zinger or two come in. You want to protect that graft as much as possible and cover it with some soil. Mulch won't do a good job. You have to pile soil up around that graft. Mm-hmm. I know this is old school. Most people don't have those anymore. They have the knockouts or the drift roses or some of the others, which is kind of cool. They're coming up with all kinds of new varieties. We have one called Grand Champion, which is a true to form rose, and it's got the big classic blooms, and they're red, and it's not grafted, so you can just give it the old Kevin Potter approach. Saw it down, it'll come back, do just fine. You won't have these oddball looking things coming up. So
right.
It's kind of a more refined parallel to the knockout rose, and I think I really like it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That and Julia Child is a yellow one, and it's true to form all the way to the ground too. So no, in other words, they're not grafted. They're sort of a floribunda kind of rose, and you get a whole lot of fairly big, small roses.
Right. Very big, small big roses.
Yeah. Typically, floribundas have small roses on them, but the Julia has big, small roses.
Okay.
So that's kind of what's going on with roses right now. I wouldn't worry about spraying them right now. Look for deadwood on your roses and cut that back. And just do a shearing back. I didn't cut back my knockouts on the north side of the house in August like I should have. I was bad. Mm-hmm. So...
You know,
I'll do that pretty soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that done too. So anyway, landscaping plan, spring's on its way. You might consider having me come out and set up an appointment, and I come out and look at your yard, take some measurements and give you a good idea of what can be done on your yard. So
you've been pretty productive on that front, haven't you?
You bet. And I've got one customer that I've emailed back and forth and back and forth. It's kind of nice to do that. They can look at it, and you can see. I always send out a real high resolution image, so you can just zoom in on it and get a good feel for what's going on there. Yeah. And they say, well, I need to do this and this and this. So I come back with another version. It's just easy that way. Because with people's schedules, especially mine, trying to get all this stuff in the ground. Jeez, I put in about 2 tons of blocks yesterday.
Right.
Singly.
But yeah, that's okay. Anyway. That's just crazy to me.
So it's kind of hard without making an appointment. It'd be kind of difficult to meet, especially when you got an update. And I shipped out an update yesterday on a plan too. So anyway, so we can meet first of all at the house briefly, just for a brief meeting, and I can get kind of an idea of what you might be looking for in a landscape. Something simple and zero or low maintenance. Or something maybe a little bit more elaborate if you're an avid gardener and you just want some dirt to work in that's going to be successful, then we can work up some kind of plan that'll do that. And I kind of like to work with hardscapes like pavers. And what people are really liking are these stone borders that are set on concrete.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool.
Because the Bermuda grass doesn't get through that. It's very permanent.
Okay.
You can run over it, you know, word it.
Wow.
It doesn't rust, and it doesn't come up out of the ground at frost heave like this plastic edging stuff does and all that. And because it is concreted and basically solid, the Bermuda grass sort of stays in check real well. So you might consider having that done on the landscape too. Probably the biggest maintenance issues people have with their gardens is the invasion of Bermuda grass.
Gotcha.
Now, it won't stop it completely because Bermuda grass goes to seed. Seed. And it can get into your monkey grass still and so on. But there's some controls for that, you know, afterwards. So anyway, I can come out and you know exactly how much it's going to cost. And if you contract, the bill usually comes in at or below what we estimated it to be. So.
Okay.
I try not to go any higher unless I have your permission.
Right. To do so. So, like, Larry, why is this higher now?
So what makes it good is you have a very clear picture of what's going to happen.
Right.
In other words, it's very easy to read, very clear, and then the renderings, the 3D renderings are very clear, so you know exactly what's going to happen with it. So. Clarity is probably one of the better things you can have on any kind of estimate anywhere.
Right.
So there's no hidden surprises, things like that.
Right.
So anyway, that's kind of what we do. So might call and get an appointment, you know, do a landscape plan, make your yard look pretty, make your biggest investment look pretty.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. New plants this spring. There's going to be some new annuals out this year.
Okay.
Just typical, we have new stuff every year. I'm kind of excited about the sun coleus, all kinds of new colors and available on those, and the periwinkles, and some new colors on the sun patients. Sun patients is a fairly new introduction, fairly, I say, well, 10 years. Plants have been around a long time.
Right.
That's really new, you know.
Yeah, that's very new.
But they come up with some variations and colors and all that. And keep in mind that when you do want to do your planting in the spring, you need to make sure your soil is prepared. Now, that's what I do at my house in the winter. When it dries up a little bit, I'll get it there with a shovel. I have maple trees in front of the house, mm-hmm. and I don't have a concrete edge.
Oh, no.
Maybe I'll do it this year.
Maybe.
And I have to dig up these roots that get in there from the maple trees. Mm-hmm. You dig it up and you pull it up, and it's like a wig.
Huh.
Just this thick mat of roots. And it just draws all the life out of the soil around where you want to put your annuals.
Right.
And every year they do it, they come back and they send out some more roots. It's every year.
It's like, come on, man. Can't you see I don't want that?
So that's so anyway, you do want to perhaps use some compost in your soil if your soil is real heavy or if you're not successful with your annuals. Mm-hmm. And you get your area, you divide your area by 12. In other words, I've got 120 square feet, you divide it by 12, that's why you need 10 bags of compost.
Right.
Like that. And that'll kind of tell you how much compost to put in there. And that really freshens up the soil, and the plants just really grow really well in that stuff. And it's something you kind of want to replenish every year because it does decompose and so on. And after a while, you get a really good soil. Mm-hmm. And you won't have to do too much of that after a while. But anyway, adding compost to the soil, there's a whole lot to improve the structure of the soil and some of the trace elements that the plants sometimes don't get too. Right. And we do have several kinds of fertilizers at the nursery that can cater to the needs of your garden.
Larry, I think we'll take another break. We'll be right back.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
You've heard it said, I saw it on the radio.
Well, that's true.
But now the radio can be your computer,
your smartphone,
tablet, or any internet-connected device.
Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner.
And you won't miss a minute of news, sports, or entertainment.
You can take us with you anywhere in the world.
We're AM 1400, FM 93.3, K1, the one you trust, and your constant online companion.
What if the music stopped? If the familiar voices were silenced? If there were no breaking news updates? What if your companion and connection to your community came with a monthly fee? Don't worry, we're free local radio with you wherever you go. Celebrating 100 years and looking forward to the next 100. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local TV and radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Food is the subject on the dining guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey del Burrito Express, Price's Old Fashioned Meat Market, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Avila's Mexican Buffet, and KFC, all in Bartlesville, CV's in Dewey, and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The dining guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KREG.
Back with the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Garrett Giles. With me is Larry Glass. Larry, what else is going on?
Golly, we want to kind of be conscientious of the birds out there. I think with the weather we've had, there's plenty of stuff for them to eat. However, that'll lead us into the tree of the week, which is the possum haw.
Possum haw.
Possum haw.
That's an interesting name, possum haw.
I don't want that in my yard. Want possum?
What kind of haw is that?
Possum haw is the Ilex decidua, or deciduous holly.
Okay.
And it's noted for its pest-free growth habit. Hmm. And what's the really good point about this is the winter berries on it. They're very, very showy.
All right.
At least in my possum hall in the backyard, they were very showy until the first part of the last week. Mm. The robins discovered the berries on
it. Not the robins.
And they were early this year. They were a whole month early. They cleaned that thing up. Cleaned them all. All the berries are gone.
Man.
And the birds, I've got a bunch of really fat and happy robins right now.
So we got to go to Larry's house more often.
But anyway, the possum haw or deciduous holly is a native plant. It's easy to grow. It has great winter interest. It does need a little bit of cultivation, though,
okay,
to keep it looking attractive. In other words, you keep the pruning shears sharp, because it does send up a lot of side branches and shoots in the ground.
Gotcha.
And if you want a nice multi-truck plant, it's going to take a little bit of work. Once a year, not that much. I did mine. I pulled up some of the suckers just 2 weeks ago. And,
okay.
It's a wintertime project, and you got to prune it a little bit here and there. But it's been in the backyard for about 10 years, and it's been wonderful every year because the birds really like it. And if you're out there in the backyard, you get dive bombed by these robins.
Leave me alone. I'm just trying to make it better for you.
Mad robins chasing you through the. Through the backyard.
Right.
They don't want you to eat up their berries on the possum haw. So it's a good plant to have for that. And really, with the cherry laurels in the backdrop, the really dark green color, the red berries just really pop out. Mm-hmm. So this variety is, it's a variety of them. And anyway, it does put on a lot of berries. And okay. It's been very attractive. We've had people walk by, what is that plant in your backyard? it's just because it's just red with berries.
Huh.
And I said, that's a deciduous holly.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's awesome.
So,
Larry, I think we'll take another break, okay, and then we'll round out the show here coming up.
From the time Frank Phillips completed his magnificent lodge home at Willow Rock in 1925 until Jane's death in 1948, they entertained the rich and the famous from all over the world. Their guests included wealthy business legends such as John D. Rockefeller and Henry Sinclair, politicians such as President Harry Truman and President Herbert Hoover, entertainers Rudy Valli, Will Rogers, and Rubinoff, famous authors such as Edna Ferber, pilot Wiley Post, Elliot Roosevelt, son of President Roosevelt. The list goes on and on. As we look back on the parties and the stories and the deals that were being done at the lodge, we realize that it truly was the Great Gatsby of the Midwest. To most of Frank's guests who were visiting from the East or West Coast, and many times from Europe, they were truly seeing a glimpse of the Wild West that they had heard so much about. While in fact that era was long over by then, Frank Phillips loved the history and wanted to do everything he could to make sure that his guests received their money's worth during their visit to his lodge and to Willow Rock. With that in mind, it was not unusual for a carload of his guests to arrive at the gates of Willow Rock in their large black sedans and be stopped by masked bandits on horseback, taken from their cars and robbed of their wallets, jewelry, and purses, and then sent on their way by the thieves. What those guests didn't realize is that these were employees of Frank's who hurried back to the lodge on horseback, arriving well ahead of the cars. When the guests arrived at the lodge and burst into the house, telling their wild and terrifying story to Frank, he would smile and point to the table in the living room where the stolen loot was on display, compliments of Uncle Frank. Once their blood pressure had returned to normal, they too enjoyed Frank's welcome to the ranch joke. They came to see the Wild West, and Frank Phillips obliged in true Oklahoma fashion, and they left Willow Rock with stories that likely got bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. That same magic continues still today at this national treasure. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. We have Larry Glass with us. It's been a really fun morning.
Yeah, okay.
We're talking about the possum haw.
Yeah.
What else we got?
The Yaupon holly is kind of a parallel to that. They're in bloom right now. One of my favorite varieties of the Yaupon holly is the Pride of Houston. It has a whole lots of berries on it, just covered in them, and really attractive in the winter, and the birds kind of tinker at them a little bit, but they'll clean them up here when it gets a little bit warmer. Mm-hmm. But it's a real attractive plant. And it's another one like that. You really have to work at it to get it to look nice. And golly, I don't know why people plant yaupon hollies 2 feet from the house.
So come on, guys.
Really, they need to be, when you get a yaupon holly, they need to be probably about 6 feet away from the house. Because they get, golly, they get 20 by 20 feet.
Yeah.
And you can keep them pruned. But golly, not so. When I moved into my house, it was all around. I cut it down to just shoulder height. There's nothing left. It looked like a hat rack. But it came back. And that's a good thing about the yaupon hollies. If they do get away from you, you can cut them back to the quick. Mm-hmm. So it's just nothing but this Medusa-like thing.
Oh, man.
And they come back just fresh and do really nice. I've done that to so many people's yaupon hollies in town. Mm-hmm. Somebody, golly, they didn't pay the bill. They said, what did you do to this thing? It'll come back. It'll be just fine. Just give it a little bit of time. And 2 months later, they wrote the check. You know?
Okay, I'm happy with this.
So the yaupon holly is another one that responds very well to discipline. Mm-hmm. But remember, keep in mind, this plant gets pretty good size, and you want to keep it in your landscape compositions. You want to keep it kind of away from the house. You might put something between it and the house, say some nandinas, or the obsession nandinas will work really well, just so it doesn't look so distant when you first plant it.
Right.
Oh, that thing's halfway to the street. Then 5 years later, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense.
Right.
The plant, sometimes the landscape plants have to grow into it. But anyway, Gigi, keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Awesome. Thank you, Larry. That was the Green Country Gardener program. We'll see you next week.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville.